and popes and priests and presidents, gurus and shamanic healers, pharmacological dealers, zealots righteous in rebirth and worshippers of Mother Earth.
Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. We are recording this on May 8th, 2014, and I'll tell you what, Ramon, I have had an absolutely wonderful week this week. You know, I did something a little bit different with my diet. I've gone pretty much, leaning a lot to the raw stuff and more vegetarian than anything else. I still have chicken or a hamburger once in a while, but I don't say I can't eat those things, but it's just I just don't feel like eating them. And a couple of weeks ago I started feeling a little drawn out and just wasn't feeling like as energetic as I had been in the past. So I added some vitamin D to my diet, and I'm just really impressed this week with the way I felt. Now, whether this is that placebo effect going on here or being up here in Washington in the wonderful gray skies, I suppose it can take its toll on your physiology. But I had actually marked improvement in the way I felt this week. So I think I'm going to hang on to the vitamin D for a while and see how it plays out there. You do any supplements, Ramon?
Yeah, I do the magnesium, and then I drink the distilled water. And lately, because of my mint plants are so big, I've been drinking lots of mint tea.
Ah, cool. Well, geez, I should start harvesting some of mine, too. Oh, and my garden has just taken off. I'm going to have to get some pictures up on the web here. I know we do have several of our listeners out there that get a kick out of me and my garden.
Yeah, it's always amazing. Oh, go ahead.
You guys are hitting on a very interesting point. I know myself, I don't feel as well on this planet eating animals. And I can't say what's right for anybody else to do, but I know from my own experimentation, it's a lot better for me to eat natural foods, you know, vegetables and fruits and nuts and things like that. And again, it's like you. Doesn't mean I can't eat those things, but I just feel better when I don't.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, guys, let me go ahead and read the bio real quick, and then we'll have get Scott in here and get going. We have Scott Lemriel with us. I did pronounce that right, Lemriel?
Yes, Lemriel.
Lemriel, okay.
Mm-hmm. Lemriel, yep.
He's the author of the series Agenda, and he has researched the hidden truths. Scott speaks about a billion-year-old prototypical special human race, the series, who seeded all humanoids and highly evolved space-faring races throughout the Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies long ago. According to Lemriel's information, there are some 450 million benevolent space-faring races in just one quarter of the Milky Way galaxy. The series, who are about 18 to 25 feet tall, recently announced they're returning. He said, and have a plan in place, working with other benevolent ETs to remove the negative control mechanisms that are implanted in the subconscious of people in our galaxy without their awareness. And his website is www.paralleltime.com. And welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio, Scott.
Happy to be here with you guys. Oh. I had the ballot a couple days ago, but I'm in tip-top shape now.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So, the whole diet thing, Scott, you know, I used to be probably five times a week I was eating red meat. And I felt fine and I did great with it and everything. But it seemed that as soon as I really started focusing on the inner Tom, working on the inner Tom and the consciousness aspect, and started learning more and experiencing more about this magical, mystical place we call reality and planet Earth, that my diet just changed by itself. I mean, that's no other better way to explain it, but it changed by itself. My tastes, my desires, what tasted good to me started to slowly change. And now, like I said a few minutes ago, it's maybe once a week I'll eat some chicken or some fish or I still enjoy a steak once in a while. If I go back 10 years, my diet 10 years ago compared to what I eat now, it's just amazing.
Yeah, and there's no need to rush change like that. Change like that needs to come about when it's driven from inside out. Because then you don't have to struggle with the change.
Right.
And there's a new energy in coming into this planet now that some people are picking up on generally intuitively, but they're not really sure what it is. They just know, number one, they're being lied to all over the earth by every government. They know, everybody with common sense knows that. And they might be asking, well, why would human beings do this to fellow human beings? Mm. And the fact is that normal human beings don't do that to normal human beings.
Right.
A human being has to be driven with implanted terrorizing images in their subconscious to behave in that way towards other fellow human beings. And the more people become aware of what's been done, the more alert they become to energies that are involved in coming here now to liberate or remove, neutralize these implanted things. This is done to people without their awareness.
Right.
It's the way tyrants work.
Yeah.
So if you're starting to pick up on change, there is another way to directly go after exploring purposefully hidden truth on a grand cosmic scale today that really wasn't available here before.
Mm.
3.5 years ago.
Mm, definitely some different energies happening now. Before we get too deep into the material, Scott, just so our listeners out there can get an idea of who Scott is, could you give us a quick rundown, a little bio on you, where are you from, and most of us, well, a large chunk of us, it seems, it takes that proverbial 2x4 to get us to wake up,
sure,
to start doing, any type of inner or spiritual work. What was it for you that put your feet on the path?
Well, I would have to say when I was 5, walking up the steps of my parents' house in Salt Lake City, Utah, a little brick house. And one day I'm walking up the street. I'm just this little kid, I had remembered being born. That was one thing I carried with me since the beginning of this life and coming into the body when it first breathed. It's a memory I carried. But when I was coming up the porch, my parents were having a normal human argument, and I could see their auras, just like an awakening happened. And in between them was a red field of energy and rays coming off of it in different directions. They were just having a normal human argument. But to me, it was very painful. And what that did is it triggered me to go out of my body consciously. And I experienced myself as a fully adult, mature adult male looking up into a spherical energy field. And in it were geometric formulas and positions of the stars in the heavens. I knew exactly where I was. And the only thing I could think of was Earth. Why am I on Earth? What am I doing on Earth? And that closed me down for many years. Now, I was living up in your territory in Washington, in a place called Cherry Crest, up above Bellevue, decades ago, at a time when UFO sightings were prevalent all over the world, after we started testing nuclear bombs. And there was a point up there when there were UFO sightings, major incidents around Mount Rainier. And where I lived, you could see Mount Rainier generally every day from where it was. And at that time, I wanted to find out what this interest was that adults had in drinking beer. I'm 12 years old. So I get up at 3 in the morning one night, and I snuck in the fridge, and I took a can of beer out of the fridge, and I snuck out the window, and I walked across the dew-laden grass and up on the narrow road that divided the houses up there, and I popped the top of the can on this beer. The next thing I know, I'm lying flat on my back, spread eagle with this can in my left hand, open, unspilled, and I'm looking at the top of a telephone pole, and about 30 feet above it, maybe 50 feet above it, was what I estimated to be a 30-foot-wide metallic saucer-shaped craft pulsating from blue to white light, no sound. And I experienced a kind of a telepathic communication coming to me from someone who I determined could figure out was a benevolent human being, just like me, but not from this planet. And that went on for about 15 minutes, and there was an exchange of some kind of information. I'm sure it had a lot to do with what happened later in my life. And that craft just pulsated from blue to white light so fast, gradually, until it just became a blur of white light, and then it shot up in space. I got up from the ground, took the can of beer, dumped it in the garbage, and never tasted it. Snuck back in the house, went to bed, never told a soul. A week later, I'm coming home from a choir practice at dusk. The bus would come up a couple miles up a hill and drop me off at a wooden shed. And then I'd get off the bus and watch it go down a couple miles till it disappear in the trees below. And I took another step and my head got pulled up by some kind of mysterious force. No fear. No sense of foreboding or dread. No sense of that this was negative in any way. And I looked up, and there were two groups of these same type of craft I'd experienced the week before in two triangular formations, 30 of them. And they broke apart and did this dance in the sky all over the place. And then regrouped and then just tilted towards me and then shot up into space. And the same time this was going on, there was some kind of a telepathic communication going on. And I walked home, never told a soul, never told anybody while I was growing up, never told anybody about the other experiences I had through life either. I think at the time it would have been unwise for me to do that.
And it was a conscious effort or a conscious recognition that it was you would catch flack for it if you did bring it up?
From anybody, yeah. Everybody. And yet there was a great interest in it at that time, too, because people were seeing these things all over the skies, especially after we started setting off nuclear weapons here on this planet. So that began my journey, and then a lot happened in between that. I won't go into all the other experiences I've had in traveling to other worlds or into other realities, because there have been just too many. But when I was about 22, well, it's maybe 23, I was traveling with a man and his wife and their new baby in a car across the Salt Flats headed towards Salt Lake City, maybe 3 in the morning, and we had this country radio station on. And I get this impression again of this telepathic contact. And the radio station suddenly blurs through the channels and picks up on a communication between a commander of a nearby Air Force base and two helicopter pilots. And we were listening to this. And I started getting a communication. He said, I want to introduce myself. My name's Monka. He's a human from another planet. And I told my friends that I was picking up this communication. They heard the radio thing, but they didn't hear the communication. So we pulled over to the side of the road, and then I get this information. He said, I want you to see something, this guy Monka told me. And he wanted us to look out the front windshield out over the desert, pitch black. And then we started hearing this commander telling these, I guess they were stealth Black Hawk helicopters at the time, because they suddenly flew over the top of the car, making almost no sound, no light, and went out over the desert. And this commander wanted them to go get this, whatever it was, track it down or shoot it down. And then I hear, watch this. It was a brilliant flash of cobalt blue light in the sky, 5,000 feet up, I would say. I don't know exactly how high, but something like that. And it just was lit up the whole desert. Then it shot straight into the ground as if something crashed and vanished. And I could hear this commander just swearing at these guys to get over there and get this, you know what. And they couldn't find anything. They were really frustrated. There's no evidence that anything had been there. And then the radio station blurred back to the country western station we were listening to. We got turned on the car and drove away. Never really talked about that either. That started me on a journey of exploring hidden truth, purposefully suppressed truth in myself. And it took quite a while to find a technique or a way to actually safely do that.
Right.
And so that's kind of my background. I did custom work in building and construction in part of my life. My life was not easy by any means in having these experiences or exploring this stuff. In fact, it made it doubly hard because I still couldn't talk about anything I was experiencing and what I was learning how to do, what I was involved in doing co-creatively with others from way out of town. And so the beginning of the Ceres Agenda started a few years back, started out as an autobiography. After a couple of chapters, it became very clear to me that this was not meant to be that. Because, and two chapters that were autobiographical removed from the book before it was published. Hmm. And the reason for that is simple. It doesn't matter to other people, you know, what my experiences are, even if they're very liberating, unless I can do something to present to them that will help them have the same experiences. Because in the end, that's all that matters to anybody.
Right. That's the only way you really know anything.
Exactly. And knowing is the whole difference of being acquired and being rehabilitated, and I say rehabilitated, to recover a certainty on knowing from one's experiences in contrast to speculation, doubt, and fear.
Right.
So when one starts to recover their native, natural, highly evolved human characteristics, which are suppressed on this planet, goes back to a long history, they begin to access the universe and plug into it themselves directly. Then when they know things, they're not in doubt anymore about it at all.
Right.
And that spreads like the 100th monkey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
actually, you know, one of the things I wanted to do on the show, like from the very beginning, to put everybody in that mood. And I feel once you put everybody in that mood, we'll be able to go even deeper with your information. And
yeah,
we can get into the Ceres Agenda. Can you actually hue for us? And
I will do that, and I'd like you guys to do it with me. But
absolutely.
I want to explain how to do this. And more importantly, not just to be aware of this word, H-U, hue. This word, and I'll get a little background on it so you guys can get grounded with this. I don't own it. Nobody has a control of real power. The real power in the universe is one power. It's not divided. Human beings have the ability to plug directly into that, a normal human being. From the time they're born, and they remember their other lives. On other normal planets, human beings remember this. Their cultures encourage this. They grow up probably, by the time they're 12 years old, they have the equivalent of 7 PhDs to someone on this planet.
Hmm.
And they're normal. They have photographic memories. They're telepathic. They use 100% of a brain they have 100% of instead of 6 to 10% on this planet. Doesn't make any sense, does it?
Mm-mm.
Not at all.
And they live at least 1,000 years, like the old previous Bible people, you know, way back, the matriarchs, way back. Maybe that's not the right word. But anyway, long ago, this planet was seeded. And this goes back many millions of years, and with human and other life were brought here, and many other plant and animal life. Human beings did, first I want to say this before we start the U, human beings did not evolve on this planet, not from the primordial soup, not from monkeys. They were brought here over a very long period of time. And we'll get into that later, how that happened and why it's been like it is. It's a very unique planet. The hue is the original sound vibration sent out by what off-world people call Prime Creator, or the Ancient One. We refer to it as the Supreme Being. They have a much greater conscious, expanded awareness of that and how to plug into that and co-create with that. A normal human being is able to co-create with their imagination only benevolent, constructive things for the good of all. And that's the way normal planets work. Hmm. Doesn't mean there aren't tyrants out there, because there are. So the hue is the first sound vibration that created all the different planes of dimensions, planets, beings, and everything. And when you work with the hue, there's a new substance or a new, I don't know what to say substance, there's a new energy field running through the heart of that hue like a beam of light that has been recently brought into creation that does one thing. It retires evil as an experiment.
Hmm.
The Mayans, at the end of their calendar, there's like 400, 550 maybe, living in mostly Guatemala, that really know how to read their calendar have never said it had anything to do with an Armageddon. I was trying to tell people for years nothing was going to happen of extraordinary nature on December 21st, 2012, at the end of their one calendar, because that calendar ends and starts a new one. What they did say, the shamans themselves, in fact, all the Indian tribes around the world, including the Dalai Lama, have concurred. They know that what is coming isn't anything to do with an Armageddon. They do not know what form it will take, but they say it will be the end of evil as an experiment on Earth.
Hmm.
That's pretty astounding.
Yeah, yeah,
I guess that's why they've been promoting the end is near, because it's the end for that kind of lifestyle. And
who's promoting that?
Those families.
there's.
You see what I mean? Who's promoting the end of the world? And you know, the people who know are not doing that.
Right, right.
The end is the end of one's energy cycle that begins a new one. If friends from out of town had not already been intervening here in subtle ways, we would have had a third nuclear war already.
Oh, yeah.
There had been a moon plague which would have wiped out 3/4 of the population here, which some people are planning to do on purpose. And there would have been quite a catastrophe at this planetary and galactic alignment at the end of this calendar. None of that happened.
Yeah, there's been quite a few incidences that have been averted, at least from my research, and my intuition has told me that anyways.
Well, for instance, the Fukushima thing. People don't think about this because they've been kept from plugging into knowing certain things, which they should be normally brilliant about perceiving on their own. Four of those domes blew their tops. Rods stories high were thrown into the air, 100 times worse than Chernobyl, and millions died from that. People haven't died like that from this accident.
Right.
Number one. And the radiation counts were 60 rads along California, Alaska, and California, Southern California, down through Baja and all that. Now they're testing. In fact, we were talking about this, Ted Mayer, on Out of This World, before the papers started announcing it. Ted had actually sent in water samples, just took off the Washington coast in the ocean, to Southern California, because I guess the governor's in favor of testing water, and he was able to get that for free, and they couldn't find any radiation in the water at all.
Hmm.
And he's doing it again, and now they just announced it in the paper that they don't find any there. Well, it's not our governments that got rid of it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I want to say. Hmm. Practical. That's very important. Now, the hue, this new ray, what it does is it manifests in the lower worlds, down to physical realities, and it comes in a form that looks solid, like matter, but it's not made of matter. And it cannot be affected by any force, power, being, technology, off-world, on-world. If they try it, it reverses the energy back on them, neutralizes their weapons, and absolutely makes them the good guys. It actually takes the terrorizing implants out of them. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is, when you do the hue as an individual with this understanding, and we'll get into that in just a moment, and if you want to explore safely, purposefully hidden truth, then the opportunity to do that is right now, because there's a certain protection that absolutely comes with this. And I don't expect any listeners or anybody to take what I say at face value, believe what I say just on my word. No, what I bring to the table and want people to do is explore hidden truth, have it happen to them, so that they know, in order to validate what's being shared here.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So
here's the hue. Go ahead.
Oh, so with the hue, do you use any visualizations of any kind?
Yes, yes. Just this way, at the beginning anyway. What you want to do, if you can wake up enough to formulate the right question large enough, the reciprocal relationship with this omnipresent field of living energy that underlies all life, even in the vacuum of space and into other realities, higher dimensions and parallel realities, in order to plug into that, you go through a certain door, and that door is through the pineal gland in the center of the brain. And that gland has rods and cones inside it, and a clear liquid, but it's connected to the optic nerve, but it doesn't see frequency like our eyes and ears do. It works in tuning into different frequencies out there in the multidimensional universe. So when people use their imagination, they're really unconsciously seeing through one of those many doors. Hmm. First thing people need to be aware of. And so when you hew, you get relaxed, either in a chair, lying flat on your back, and you think, and this is really important, think of someone or something you love, first of all. And when you close your eyes, what you do is it's the same place you look when, if you were to imagine a beautiful waterfall or a bird or someone you love. And then you view this hue sounding out going on the outer breath at a comfortable tone, consistent tone that's comfortable for the individual. And you let this go out gently and serenely on the outgoing breath. And it vibrates only one thing. It vibrates the cranium upward, basically the pineal gland upward. The arm that came from the east vibrates the neck and throat and chest area. You'll have to try this, but you'll see what I mean. When you hew, it only does one thing. It opens a door. And that door plugs into the omnipresent force, and then people can safely explore purposefully hidden truth and wake that up. And the only way they're going to find that out is by practicing it. The best way to do it is to get relaxed, take several deep... We can do this now together. Just some deep, relaxing breaths. And then let go of your concerns, whatever they might be for the day or for your whole lifetime. Because now you're focused. You want to do something. You're going to send out this you, but first you're going to send out, show me through my own direct experience, purposefully hidden truth on a grand cosmic scale. And then it connects you with the beings and energies and people that can help do this. And there are countless billions of them. Anyway, that's what you do. And then you hew. And when you're done hewing, the first time you pause and you just look and listen. You don't try to make anything happen. It should be effortless. And if you guys would like to try that, we'll pause for a moment afterwards and then we'll hew again. We'll do it three times and then we'll talk. How's that?
Sounds great.
Okay. First, take a couple breaths. And each of you, in your own way, ask to be shown purposefully hidden truth on a grand cosmic scale, safely, in a protected manner. If you can imagine what life would be like on another planet that's normal, it certainly wouldn't be like this planet. But just try and imagine meeting beings of a human high-standing nature that have never been part of what's happened to this planet. And then begin to remember who you are. That's you. Each person on their own tone, whatever's comfortable. You. For 10 to 20 minutes a day at the same time, preferably, best before you go to sleep at night, a lot of amazing things will happen.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I've got the warmth washed over me after the third hue. A warmth just cascaded over my body.
Interesting. The experience is the same. It's universal.
Yeah, I've been actually doing it ever since we started looking into your work to get you on the show. And I've been getting that warmth that you're talking about, especially a lot of it feels like very, almost if I put on a warm, what do you call those?
A robe
those water heating pads.
Mm.
What's really happening when we're doing that, because we're all in this boat together on this planet and on other worlds. Make no mistake that beings on other planets, hundreds of billions of them, are more interested in our welfare than people here are capable of being interested in their own at this time.
Oh, yes.
So that's very fortunate for us. It's never been a problem for them, technologically or spiritually, to resolve the problems on this planet. Technologically and otherwise, disease, not living 1,000 years or more, at least like they do, or rehabilitating photographic memory capability, telepathic functioning in people. That's not a problem for them. The problem all this time has been how to remove or how to neutralize totalitarian extraterrestrials that have gotten involved with the hidden government that started here after World War II and then got into influential control of them. How do you do that? In order to free up this planet safely.
Right.
How do you do it without going to war? Because there was a war 500,000 years ago with these guys, and they lost. But they are totalitarian, and they're driven by an implantation process that was put in them 500,000 years ago, and they're genetically changed in order to carry out their terrorizing campaigns. So they aren't even in control of what they're doing any more than hidden government people are in control of what they're doing.
Mm.
They're not normal.
Right.
Everybody knows there's something wrong here. All right, so it's never been a problem as far as doing it. It's how to do it. Well, these guys are sore losers. They've got a bomb on the planet. If they were kicked off of here, they'd set it off, and this place would be blown apart and become an asteroid belt circling in the orbit of a planet, just like the one between Mars and Jupiter is now. This is important to understand. It isn't. They also needed a tool they didn't have before, something that could neutralize these negative elements in the subconscious of good and bad people, good and bad beings off-world. This is a problem that had to be dealt with out in the galaxy. You have to be able to deal with it there. If you're ever going to solve it here, it just comes back.
Hmm.
So what the Sayre's agenda is about how this got done, how it got started, and what's being done to resolve it, which means the prophesied negative destiny that people came up with looking down the time track in ancient history has been significantly, permanently altered for the benefit of people here recently. That's important to know. It's almost like people are so fixated on their doubt, using their imagination. They don't realize they're actually using the gift of their imagination, focused into the negative, so in the future they see a destructive end of the world to escape their lives of drudgery and toil. But that's an implanted fear. It's not really accurate. And people don't even know it's being done to them.
Right, right.
And then when people try to use their imagination in positive ways, it's like a fight. The negative has more power, right?
Absolutely.
Everything around them in the news and radio and TV is reinforcing that. And it's being reinforced through the satellite system as we speak. But here's the interesting thing, guys. We are talking about this stuff right now. And the powers that be, off-world and hidden behind the scenes on this planet, they thought they were so completely thorough in what they were doing. We should not be having this conversation, but we are. Why? How come? What's changed? And what's changing? I wanted to bring that to your awareness, because people will do things in the name of their countries today, or in the names of what they think is self-righteous or righteous, that means, well, yeah, you know, we've got to look out for ourselves. We'll save a select few in our underground bases and off-world behind the moon on Mars. You know, they have bases already. There was a secret space program was created after World War II with the National Security Act that had nothing to do with NASA. Think about it. Why did they create a second government? It was done with altruistic reasons at first. It was done to have a survivable government if there was a sudden nuclear attack and the cabinet and the president were killed.
Right.
That's where it started. But ask yourself where we got the technology so quickly from. Where did the Nazis and his scientists get it from?
Right.
It's all linked together. There's an off-world treaty amongst races, dates back 500,000 years. The benevolent organizations out there are huge. The totalitarian ones smaller. They're technologically powerful. If there was war, the bipedal alien totalitarian race would lose, but they would destroy a lot first.
Right.
And Earth would be one of the things they would wreck if they couldn't get control of. They're just after resources. These beings, in their current state, are not respecters of human beings at all.
Right.
They think less about us than we think about killing a cow and eating it. And oddly enough, that wasn't their native state 500,000 years ago. They were vegetarians. They weren't even carnivorous. Think what had to be done to them by an even more ruthless race to get them to behave like they are now. And then you begin to understand why these other races out there are more benevolent towards trying to figure out a way to solve this problem.
Right.
So let me throw some names out because I'm thinking of certain types of races. And are you specifically talking about the draconian race or
yes, that's one word they use for it. Yes, a lot of people don't know, but tall grays and are really part of the same race. Short grays grow to tall grays, and then over 800 years, I mean, think about it, they live 800 years and they have an overriding overlord race, and they always use the other races they control to do all their dirty work, to keep out of breaking a treaty just short of war. Always just short of war.
Yeah, that's the impression that I've definitely gotten quite a few times. It's like they push the limit.
Just the limit, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The crafts have been shot down. We've collected them here. Some were given to us in other countries, but we didn't shoot them down. Think about that.
Right.
Who did? Better to lose a pilot or a few craft that you don't care about anyway. You can care about your own people if you're a totalitarian nut job. You know, then to go to war. And they'll continue to break the treaty. They'll continue to infiltrate worlds as long as they can to get resources. Think about it. You've got 7 billion people on this planet, right? All the manufacturing bases are in place, mining facilities, manufacturing plants, telecommunications. Everything's in place to get people to be slaves, to deliver a certain amount of resources from this planet off-world. And nobody right. knows it's even going on.
So let's touch back on the Ceres race a little bit. You know, I'm curious at what their origins are. I mean, I know that they
were evolved in another part of the galaxy long ago. They were. Let me first state that we have exactly the same DNA that they have. They're just much taller. And that means that the potential capabilities and what they've been able to develop in their race, they were immortalized in their bodies over almost 1 billion years ago.
Wow.
And they brought into being many of the human, humanoid, and other races and sentient beings in the galaxy, brought a lot of animal and plant life into creation, and then started and founded the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds, which is what it's called out there. People call it Galactic Federation, but that's a Star Trek term, really. It's okay. They don't mind. They just don't refer to it that way, but it's okay. They brought this organization of benevolent races, sponsored it, and then vanished. Poof, gone. Left us to fend for ourselves.
See what the kids can do with the new toys.
They've recently gone through their own unexpected uplifting transformation, and they realized that they needed to be back in the saddle and being responsible for younger races. And particularly, there was a thing that brought into creation a long time ago. To cattle prod atma is what they call soul, or the real nature of what you are that isn't the physical body. To get it to move, to grow, to because our goal, our purpose as beings is to become consciously liberated, freely trusted, co-creators with the source behind all life. God's amongst the great one. And that is the actual destiny of each person. You wouldn't know that on Earth, though. That's all been shut down and genetically shut down long ago and passed on generation after generation. The ability to live 1,000 years was shut down at different cycles on this planet. The surface of the planet's been destroyed a number of times. The poles of this planet flip 180 degrees overnight every 100,000 years. There have been six ice ages in 600,000 years. This planet is unique because whatever's grown in a civilization up to that time period is wiped out overnight. I mean, massive things go on. The continents break up, the seafloors rise, you get a new mantle, and then the place is receded. And the experiment goes on. One of the things that's recently been done, and this is being done by beings beyond the Sayres even, that run the mechanics of creation, meaning planets and galaxies and solar systems and keep everything in balance. One of the directives that came to them was to permanently suspend this planet's polar flipping, which is due to happen again soon. So that means the whole cycles of Iron Age to Golden Age and back again and all the nonsense that goes on for millions of years and millions of lives for people is being done away with here. Now, people are going to have to start to experience this for themselves by waking up to their own ability to plug in and know it, because that's the only thing that matters anyway. The hue in doing it over time will plug a person into having awakening this ability to know this for themselves. That's the real value that I'm bringing to the table here.
Yeah, there's you know, there's something when I first came across your work, Scott, there was something about it that really resonated strongly with me, and I've always felt that there was some greater plan or I don't know how to express this. Articulated in a way that's understandable, but I've always felt that there was another greater sentience out there that besides that you know what I term you know what people call God or the Force or you know the the Source, but I always felt that there was a sentient race working on behalf of creation. That was, beyond our scope of comprehension.
Well, the interesting thing is they're not beyond our scope of comprehension. That's part of the dumbing down process.
Right.
If you can only use 6 to 10% of your brain, when you try to plug into the universe, you're going to have a hard time comprehending much.
Exactly.
And second of all, it's important for people to know the imagination is not created from the brain. It has nothing to do with the brain whatsoever. The brain is a multi-billion nervous circuit center for recording things like taste and touch and smell and moving your fingers and coordination and voice and speech. And I mean, it can get traumatized and record injuries and all that, but it isn't really where your mind is either.
Right.
People don't understand this. We're multidimensional beings. We live on a number of planes at once, exploring how to become co-creators. And that's been shut down to people here. People go out at night. Everybody leaves their body at night. But it's fantasy to people here. They can't comprehend the reality of this.
Right.
You know, they bring back vivid dreams, and they go, well, that was outrageous. You know, they're really out of their body exploring this stuff. As bizarre, as coordinated and harmonious or abstract as it might be because of the jumbling process that goes on when you come back in, it's all really, you're really out there adventuring.
Right.
And life goes on beyond, during while you have a physical body and after you leave it permanently. It just goes on.
The out-of-body experience is probably one of was the most impactful event of my life.
Sure.
You know, I had a spontaneous one, 25, 26 years ago, whenever it was. And when I picked up the torch again here, you know, really in earnest here about, 8-10 years ago, I decided that that was something I wanted to experience again. And it took me a few months, it took me more than a few months, but it took me a while to find a technique for myself to initiate that experience. But when I did actually was able to have that conscious, intentional, out-of-body experience where I projected my being out of this physical form, that mm-hmm. took every shadow of doubt out of my mind. That's knowing.
What about you, Ramon? You had anything like that?
Yeah, actually, my first time was, I think, when I was like 2 or 3, and I was out of body, and I can see this is probably my earliest memory. I can see the baby bottle, and I can see myself, but I didn't care about, you know, that I'm having out of body experience. All I care was about trying to grab that baby bottle, and I couldn't grab it, and I didn't get it. And that's probably the earliest memory. But yeah, I've had like lots of them. Unlike Tom, I can't do it when I want, but it happens at least like once every 3 months or so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, you guys are going to have fun with the Hue because you start to bilocate. You know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
And then where we're talking on the phone and we're talking with Torelli and the Seres ambassador at the same moment. Because they're telepathic. He's a real being. It doesn't mean he's up there in heaven land somewhere.
Right.
They are in a higher parallel dimension. They have a world there, and it's very protected, and it's very advanced. And immortalized bodies, basically, this guy's, he was an adult 500,000 years ago, can I tell you?
Right.
So you
mentioned having a communication with this guy, Monka.
Are you still speaking
with him? Keep in touch.
I haven't really spoken with him maybe a couple of times after that, and then he went off doing his business. And these guys, pilots, are all tasked with various missions.
Hmm.
They come a long ways, and millions of people would love to be picked up by a benevolent ship from another world, taken out and, you know, corrected, set free and brought back. But the logistics of that... people think about it. One craft to be tasked to come pick up one person, it has to telepathically guide someone out in the country somewhere at a certain time. They have to get in, get him up, bring him back without being intercepted by counter forces or black ops people, and all kinds of stuff is involved. I mean, if there were 10,000 craft around this planet, they're all tasked for specific missions aimed at having this planet survive completely through a new transformation that's underway. They're not focused on individual rides, and if they did, 10,000 craft wouldn't give a small percentage of the people on the planet rides anyway.
Right.
So that kind of thing is going to come along, and it's going to increase, especially as things change here. So I think people should bear that in mind, that it's a real, very, very serious, very delicate thing to try to do that at this time.
Right.
That'll change, and it won't be that way in the future.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So
can you imagine your kids growing up in the near future, going on field trips to another planet?
Hmm. I can't imagine myself going on field trips to another planet.
Exactly. Exactly.
And actually, I imagine myself working on them.
You could. I mean, why not? Here's the thing that people don't realize about the military-industrial complex or any of these guys. See, I'm not an enemy to any of these people. I'm the best friend they'll ever have, because what is coming now is to help set them free from the diabolical implanted program that's driving them to do the hideous things they're doing on this planet.
Right.
They're planning to eliminate 6.5 million billion people here. And why? Because 500 million are more easily dominatable and controllable by another race from out there.
Right.
And they don't care. So you have to think about that. That's not going to happen, by the way. That's never going to happen. Here's one of the reasons. even with the reversed engineered craft, anti-gravity craft, because some of the craft were given people here, they reverse engineered some of it. None of this technology was invented by our scientists here. It was illegally provided to them, breaking a treaty through a Cold War process, started with Hitler and his scientists. The same group is now working with Russia, China, and the United States. That's a long story. Probably get in that in the second half, how that came about and why. But if someone wants to actually explore waking up the truth about this stuff for themselves, as I've done and I'm continuing to do, they can do that through the Hue Now safely, through the new ray that's woven through it. And the protection is provided for them. George Nuri on Coast to Coast at one point said to me towards the end of the program, "You mean to tell me if some alien comes up to me and wants to have me for dinner, all I got to do is you, and I'll be protected?" And I said, "That's exactly what I'm saying." At the end of the show, he gave me a compliment, which I didn't expect. He said, "You sound like a very grounded person." And that was the end of the show.
Nice.
I'm just sharing the truth with the guy, you know. I respect him. He's a great host, and I was lucky to get on the show. I was fortunate. But everything has a purpose. It's meant to be.
Absolutely.
Now I'm on the show with you two guys. And some your people are listening to this, and the only reason I'm on the show is because I want this to be of benefit to them.
That's the only reason we do the show.
Yeah.
And if I can give them the tool of the Hue and how to use it, and they can start to work with it, then the beings and elements and people and situations will come their way to help them get out of this mess. They become part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Right. Right.
And that's the whole point.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Is there anything you want to know about? Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I was going to actually ask you more about the Seyre's culture in itself, because you know, I'm always very intrigued by even our own different human cultures, even something as different like someone from the East Coast and someone from the West Coast and someone from the Midwest, how different the cultures are, let alone the planet.
Surprise you to know that no human race, individual type of race, Asian, Arabic, African, Black, Caucasian, or Nordic, as they're called, you know, from way out of town, who have those characteristics. Each race on this planet was brought here from worlds that predominantly have that one race and their one religion or belief system. You throw them all together, you got quite a hodgepodge, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
And you'd think, well, gosh, they must have all evolved and just split off and changed all over the world. Natural selection and all that. Well, natural selection works in time, but that isn't how it happened. And if you don't have a history on the surface of this planet to explore scientifically, if it's wiped out every 100,000 years, which it has been, it's all at the bottom of the ocean, you don't really have a whole lot to go on for the theories you come up with. And if you're not able to use 100% of your brain and have your photographic memory restored and tune into the universe and beings out there who are free from this stuff, then how can you be expected to possibly understand the true hidden history of Earth and our solar system? Or the races that are out there, or the multi-dimensions that go up from the physical way up into the higher worlds, or the Seyres, or the silent mentors who guided them, who run the mechanics of the entire creation. How can you know these people?
What was the name of that race?
The silent mentors.
Oh, the silent mentors. Okay, yeah.
Or silent ones. Yeah, they are beings who are so evolved that they don't really have the kind of compassionate nature. They're not loving. They just don't have the same kind of warmth that you'd experience from a spiritual master or something like this, because they're so busy carrying out their tasks and maintaining world systems and galaxies revolving around each other and all of that and all the different dimensions and all the portals between dimensions that extraterrestrials use to get around the universe. They're busy keeping that all going and expanding it. So they would just let the planets keep flipping, wipe everything out. So what? Beings are alive. They leave their bodies. They get a new one, blah, blah, blah. But even they are involved now in changing the mechanics of this world so that what we call the lower universes, the lower dimensions, which have been fixed and finished for billions of years, which means they cannot really change, are in process of becoming unfixed and unfinished so they can evolve into something better.
Hmm. Was like there some catalyst within the cosmos that has prompted this new action?
Yeah. Each person, each being, eventually, it's like this. You leave the source as an Atma or soul. Travel into the lower world, you get in bodies, you do all this stuff to experience and explore, and originally to contribute new creative ideas. At some point, beings return to the source. But people think I'm going there to be liberated and sit on a cloud playing my harp, you know, through eternity. That is not at all what the nature's like in the upper worlds. There you become more active, more creative, more dynamic, and more on fire with wanting to experiment and create new things for the betterment of all life and all that is. So when beings start to become that way with their imagination, they're working in a very high state of consciousness. And when you return, instead of, you know, you leave with an empty sack, and what you're expected to do is come back with a bag full of gold. Metaphorically, it
right.
means you bring something new to the table that only you as an individual could have seen. It's like seeing a hole in eternity that only you know how to fill. And you bring it back and you plug it in. And the beings there test it. And if it comes out true, necessary, and kind, guess what? It gets put into creation. And that's really what our place is as beings, is to contribute to our fellows and to all life in benevolent ways only. In other words, the only right use of the imagination is to imagine that which will be of benefit for all life.
Mm.
Animals, plants, rocks, birds, trees, atmosphere, the void in space, other planes, other beings, good and bad. Because bad beings and tyrants don't get that way on their own. They had to be changed without their permission in some way to act that way as terror tools for an even more diabolical race. That's how that came down.
Hmm.
That's being undone. And not just on this planet. But this planet is a focus for its manifestation because of this polar shifting problem, which has kept this planet retarded from evolving like other worlds have. Why? Because if you only have 100,000 years and it's completely wiped out, you really can't grow for millions, can you?
Right.
Yeah.
And you get people brought in from other places, and people were allowed under treaty to have secret bases here, different cultures from other races, to do scientific benevolent experiences under the bylaws. And they weren't supposed to contact people here or do anything here until the governments were working together in harmony and they were beginning to explore space. Now, we've fulfilled the part of exploring space, but working together in harmony, forget it.
Right.
They've been compelled to intervene. Here's something you should know, too. During the Cold War, 12 different occurrences happened where both sides of these knuckleheads and grown-up bodies acting like spoiled little kids with powerful destructive toys actually pushed the button for us to go to nuclear war. And in all 12 cases, a few ships would hover over their central command control bases, shut down their launch computers, and fly away.
Hmm.
And then turn their launch computers back on with the launch mode shut down. That's as much as they intervened. That they said, do whatever you want, but that's where we draw the line.
Right.
That's the most highly classified thing. Why? Because you can't tell people that your military basically can't protect you to be baby boomers after World War II.
Hmm.
How can you get them to rebuild a destroyed culture if you say, well, we're in touch with these guys from out there in the stars, and you know, if they wanted to kick our you-know-what, there's nothing we could do about it.
Right, right.
The 35 countries agreed to keep that quiet after World War II.
And back to this catalyst, and not to sound like a narcissistic human being, did some experience or some collective experiences off planet Earth have something to do as a catalyst to help to implement these changes within the series and prompt them to start taking different action?
Yeah. The first thing that happened was in their particular parallel dimension in their world, because they were perfectly happy to just be way up there evolved and let the races down here have it out, whatever. They had to go through a little bit more responsible, uplifting change to get motivated to be involved again. Because they're superior to, really way superior to all the races in this galaxy, in Andromeda or anywhere else. And so if they want to stop something, it's not going to be a problem. They're benevolent. They're not going to interfere. They went through a change because they started to experience the manifestation of certain golden pyramids that started showing up on their world, radiating a kind of an energy that changed them, something that never existed before in creation, in the entire cosmos. And once that was done, whatever was keeping them from being more evolved after as high as they'd gone, it's just like water, just changed virtually overnight. And then they presented themselves to the core of this galactic alliance, representatives from 5,000 representatives from representing 450 plus million world systems, space-faring races, all good. Suddenly showed up in the middle of them, this Ceres ambassador, and presented them with this agenda and what it does and what it's supposed to do. It was a benevolent thing, and just his presence alone changed all of them.
Wow.
And so then they got involved in finding out that they were starting to appear on their worlds, and that started the process of finally figuring out how to solve this removal of evil as an experiment for Earth safely.
Hmm.
So things are going to change and ramp up pretty quickly here.
Good stuff.
In a lot of wonderful ways.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Scott, we're at the top of the hour, and we're going to go ahead and take a break here and continue on in the second hour. And we actually lost Ramon there just a minute or two ago, and we'll get him back in during the break. And
Was probably him beeping, I heard, trying to call in, right?
Yeah, that's him. And
okay, we're good. We're good. I hope everything's great, and I see you in 5 minutes.
All right. Absolutely.
So?
All right, take care.
Will you be calling me back, or you want to leave the line open?
Let's just leave the line open. We got a good connection.
Okay, so. Very good.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody out there for listening to this first hour. And if you are not members, then I would urge you to go over to www.thehundredthmonkeyradio.com and check out all the almost 200 shows that we have there on that site, and become a member and have access to all that second hour stuff. Scott's website is
paralleltime.com,
and you can find a links to where you can get his books at right there. And we also have
The people should know that I don't take their credit cards or anything like that. The website's safe. The links for buying anything there, like the book, go right to the Page Publishing in New York, and they have four options there to get the book. At Barnes & Noble or Amazon or Play.Google and iTunes for ebooks. So they can just click on any link there they want, and it takes it to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and that's where they buy it.
Fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see you guys in a second hour. We're going to let Perry Mills with a, let's see, how about we call this Just Tell Me the Truth, taking us out. And we'll see you guys in a second hour. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
The love you deny is the pain you carry.
Namaste, my friend. Meditators, global banking gladiators, glowing tubes that mesmerize, netting minds like butterflies, helpless lying in the night like moths misled into a light. Information overload, trust me, then do what you're told. Tell me who you think I am. Just come.
stop pretending that you do.
Truth.